Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Luke, the 21st chapter. And Jesus is talking about the end times. He's talking about a time of tribulation upon the earth like the world has never seen before. And I believe we're close to it. I believe we're close to a lot of the fulfillment of these things that Jesus said were going to come to pass in the earth. And I love what he says here in verse 18. He says, "But not a hair of your head shall be lost." So, I mean, it's going to be all this tribulation, all this trouble taking place. The whole world is going to be in a real bad shape. But he says that not a hair of your head shall be lost no matter what is going on all around you. Verse 19, "In your patience, possess your souls." Possess your souls. The soul is our modern day New Testament promised land. That's the thing that needs to be possessed. We know in the Old Testament, the children of Israel had a literal land to take possession of. The first part of that was Jericho. They came into the city of Jericho. They shouted. The walls came down. They went in. They took that city. After they took that city, they went on and took another city. And then they went and took another city. And they possessed that area that is known today as the nation of Israel. Now, there's still a lot of enemies of Israel that refuse to even call the nation Israel. They call it Palestine. There's a lot of maps. If you look at different maps, you'll see instead of Israel, it'll say Palestine. Call that territory there that the Israelites occupy as Palestine, which is just a nice way of saying Philistine. It's just another name for the Philistines, see, because they were the ones that needed to be driven out of that land for the Israelites to be able to possess it. But more than that, God has a promised life for us to possess. The land that we are to take possession of today with the life of God is our souls. Because again, you can have plenty of great real estate around you in the natural, but if you don't occupy your soul with the life of God, then what good is all the natural prosperity that's going on around you? You won't be able to enjoy it like you should. If you've got trouble, if you got turmoil in your soul, if you're not free in your own soul. So Jesus came to set us completely free from the inside out. From the inside out. It's the inside that is the most important part of us. Because we live our life on the inside. We view the world according to how we are on the inside. We respond to things that take place around us according to what is going on inside us. And if we have peace on the inside of us, I'm talking about the peace of God. I'm talking about the peace that surpasses all understanding. If we have the peace of God on the inside of us, then no matter what's going on around us, no matter what kind of turmoil is taking place, we're going to have peace. We're going to be in peace. But you can have peace all around you. The land can be subdued all around you. You could have all kinds of good things in the natural, but if on the inside there's no prosperity, if there's no peace, then there's no happiness, there's no joy, there's no abundant living. Life is still hard and tough if you're hard in your heart, if your soul has not been possessed with the life of God. Do you see that? So, a lot of folks, they focus on the outside. If I just had this, I'd be happy. If I just had that, I'd be happy. And so, of course, God has promised us good things. We've talked about it in this series, how Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. And he who did not spare his only son, but delivered him up for us, how will he not with him give us all things freely to enjoy? So God wants us to have things. God wants us to be rich, abundantly supplied, have more than enough financially, materially, in life. That's a part of being free. That's a part of enjoying life. God made enjoyable things. He gives us things to enjoy. So he wants us to have that. But that isn't the main thing. The main thing is to have joy and peace on the inside of us. So we are to go after the promises of God for natural things, but ultimately in doing that, as we do it in faith, it's changing us on the inside. As you see here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now notice this here, he says in verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Notice that he's given to us all what? Things. And notice again, it's past tense. He has given us all things, right? But even though he has given it to us, we must possess it. We must take possession of these things. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. How many of you know there are promises in the Word of God for everything that you would have need of in life and for everything that you would ever want or desire in life? Oh yeah, I mean, there's folks that have just taken the promises of God and made books out of them. And I mean, there's just all kinds of promises of natural provision. And so he says there, he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. God's promises are precious. And they're exceedingly great. But then he goes on, he says, that through these promises, the promises to be rich, the promises to be healthy, the promise to be abundantly supplied with every good thing. All these promises, the promises of ask whatsoever things you desire and believe that you receive it and you'll have it. Whatever things you desire, believe you receive, you'll have. That's an exceedingly great promise. He says all these great and precious promises are to cause something to happen in us. Notice, he says that through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice that you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now we're talking about the nature of God here. The divine nature is the nature of God. And the nature of God is something spiritual. It's talking about the very character and essence of God. It's his nature. How people know his nature is a love nature. His nature is love. That's his nature. His nature is righteousness. That's his nature. That's who he is. It's the very essence of who he is. So here it says that through these precious promises, as we're going after the promises to possess what we know is our covenant rights and privileges. We know that Jesus became poor that we might be rich. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, that by his wounds you were healed. Come on. All these promises were purchased for you and I. They belong to us. They've been given to us. And as we rise up by faith to take possession of these things, to lay claim to these things, it's changing us. It's changing us from the inside out. The promises of provision, as we seek to possess them by faith, is exercising our faith. It is building up our faith, thus building us up in our spirit, changing us on the inside. And as we go after what we know belongs to us in Christ Jesus, and we're not going to settle for anything less than His best in this life, we find that on the inside, something's happening to us. We're becoming more like God. We're becoming partakers, participants in the divine nature of God. Hallelujah. And that's the most important thing. I said that's the most important thing, that we're being changed. That's why it's important for us to possess the promises by faith. If God just dumped all these things on us, then we would just have a bunch of nice things and still not be nice ourselves. So it's important that we be changed in the possessing of nice things. As we obtain nice things, we need to be becoming. We need to be changed, need to be becoming more like Him, thinking more like God. As we rise up in faith, we're exercising our faith. Every time we rise up and use our faith for something, we're exercising our faith. And so, you know, we believe the promises of God, but we don't see things happen instantaneous. Why? Because there's a working. There's a working. There's a battle and there's a fighting. That's why the Bible says fight the good fight of faith. There's a using and exercising patience. Patience. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that it's by faith and patience that we inherit, or we could say possess, the promises of God. Faith and patience. James says, let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may become complete and entire, lacking nothing, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing character. See, as you're using your faith and patience, you are growing in godly character. You're being changed on the inside. You're being changed on the inside. So it's kind of like the promises are the bait. You know, it's the bait. It says, this belongs to you. Go ahead and get it. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. And then by faith, we got to rise up and reach for it. Speak it forth. Not give in to doubt and unbelief. Not give in to discouragement. And as we continue to go for the bait, we're being transformed. We're being changed. We're becoming faith champions. We're becoming more than conquerors. And the conquering that is taking place primarily in our souls. So we hear that a lot. You know, the scripture that you are more than a conqueror. Somebody thinks, I don't think I'm much of a conqueror. I haven't beaten anybody up lately. I haven't done much in the natural that calls me a conqueror. Well, if you are a believer that will not let go of the promises of God and you're pressing in towards God's best, then you are conquering. You are fighting. And it is a fight you will always win because God backs you up. God's backing you up. So we're fighting the fight of faith on the battlefield of the soul. And we're taking the land. We're taking the soul for Jesus. We're seeing to it that the soul is a partaker of the divine nature. That what's been imparted to us through the new birth into our spirits is getting into our souls. Getting into our souls. Because what good is it if these things are just in your spirit, but they're not being expressed through your life? So we have to get what's in our spirit into our soul. We have to fight and lay hold of what God has for us. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Believing with the heart puts faith in you. But believing with the soul puts you in faith. So again, you can have faith in you, but not be in faith. Did you get that? You can have faith in you. You can be surrounded by faith, but yet not be in faith. And so faith in you speaks of the spirit, but you in faith is speaking of the soul. When faith gets into your soul, bless God, you're going to enter into a place of rest for your souls. You're going to have rest. You're going to have peace in your soul. And that peace is a heavy thing spiritually. It is a weighty thing spiritually. It is something that is just too much for the devil. It's just too heavy. He can't handle it. He can't stand up under the pressure of the weightiness of peace. Peace in the spirit is a devil-crushing force. And when you get in peace, which is getting in faith, which is standing in the promised land of your soul with the word of God, I'm telling you what, any devil that has been there is just crushed under your feet. Romans 16, verse 20. And the God of peace, if you follow what I'm saying there, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Notice that. The God of what? Peace will crush Satan under your feet. See, it's that peace of God, that God of peace, or the peace of God, that is a devil-crushing force. I'm telling you, when you enter the rest, devils get restless. Somebody's going to be anxious. It's either going to be you or the devil. If you have anxiety in your soul, and your soul is, your emotions are all, you're all upset in your soul, devil's got peace. He's in the promised land. He's got your soul. He's resting in the promised land. Him and Goliath, the whole bunch of them. Oh, the devils, because that's what all those giants and Canaanites and Perizzites and all those guys of the Old Testament, they're just types and shadows of demonic powers, evil spirits. So, they occupied the promised land. Children of Israel had to go in there. They had to drive those demons out of that place, didn't they? Well, bless God, that's how you and I have to do. We have to drive them out. So how do you drive them out? You got to drive them out with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Tells you right there in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Somebody just say, I'm too much for the devil. See, if you got peace in your soul, the devil is out. He's not there anymore. You're there. You get in peace, you're in the promised land. You've taken possession of your soul, and the devil's out. Stay in peace, and the devil can't drive you out. Stay in peace, and the devil can't get back in. That's just the way it is. Peace is important. I said peace is important. The peace of God. We got to stay in the peace of God. Bible talks about how the peace of God will be a garrison around you. It'll guard you. It'll protect you. Devil can't get near a person of peace. And here in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, it's all here talking about the rest of God. Verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, the children of Israel, under the old covenant. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So you see, these folks were hearing the word of faith. And we could say they had faith. Because we know their coming out of Egypt is a type of you and I coming out of the world. Coming out from under the world system, coming out of the kingdom of darkness and coming into the kingdom of God's Son. It tells us over in Corinthians that when they came out, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized," look at that word baptized, "baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So when they came out of Egypt, went down in the water of the Red Sea that God split for them. When they went down in there, being led by the cloud, which is a type of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When they went down in that, he said, that's a type of them being water baptized and baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what it was, a type and shadow of what was to come. That's what that was. It was a type and shadow of what was to come. So then in order for them to have done this and be a type and shadow of us today, then they must have come out of Egypt in faith. Right? They came out of there in faith. And they passed through the sea in faith. It tells you that in Hebrews chapter 11. Hold your place in those places. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 29. By faith, they, the children of Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. So the children of Israel, how did they go through the Red Sea? The Bible says right here, they went through it by faith. These folks, they had faith, they were in faith. They went through that Red Sea in faith. So these were a faith people. This was a faith group of people. The children of the Egyptians, they did not have faith. They looked, they saw the children of Israel go through it. They saw, they looked and went, wow. Well, they did it. Why don't we try and do it? Let's see if we can do it. How do you know if is not faith? There's no if in faith. Faith is fully convinced of what it's doing. Fully convinced of the promise of God. They had a promise from God. Go on through. Go forward. They believed it and they went through it. They passed through, came out on the other side. The Egyptians tried to do it and they didn't make it. They didn't make it through, even though they tried. Even though they did the same thing. The difference was they didn't do it in faith. It's not so much what you do, but it's whether you do it in faith or not. That counts. That's going to determine whether we're going to get through to the other side or not. But I want you to know it. By faith, they did that. Then you come back to 1 Corinthians 10. They passed through the Red Sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3, all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So even the rock that Moses struck and then later spoke to and water came out of, that rock was a type of Christ. And so here, they're a type of shadow of what you and I have today. So they are a faith group of people. So they got faith. I said they got faith in their heart. But then what happened to them? They came out of Egypt. Came into, where did they come into? When they came out of Egypt. Was it the promised land right away? No, it was the wilderness. They came into the wilderness. Now remember, this is all types and shadows of us today, right? So they came out of Egypt and they came into the wilderness. Then from the wilderness, they were to go in and possess the land. What is the wilderness? Because if they're coming out of Egypt and coming into the wilderness is a type of being saved, right? Isn't it? It's a type of being saved. So the wilderness is it's a place for Christians today. What is that wilderness? It's because salvation has already happened. They've been baptized. When they went through the sea, they got baptized. Now, the promised land isn't the new birth. The wilderness is the new birth. So how can the wilderness be the new birth? Because if you got faith in your heart and are born again, but still have wildness in your soul, then you are in a wilderness. When a person gets born again, comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God they get saved in their heart, but their soul is still very much out of control. Their soul has not been subdued yet with the word of God. They have only got a taste of the good life. And now they got to get to know the promises of God and go in and possess the fullness of this abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So we all end up in the wilderness when we come out of the world, when we come into the kingdom of God. And that wilderness is in our souls. That's where the wilderness is. Things are wild in there. You know, there's a lot of wild stuff going on in a lot of Christian souls. But we need to subdue all the wildness with the word of God and establish the peace of God in there and turn that wild place into a promised land, into a place of rest. We need to go from a wild place within us to a restful place in our souls. And how do we do it? Hebrews chapter 4. He says again in verse 2, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them." Remember, they kept hearing the preaching of the word, didn't they? "But it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith." Now, wait a second. They had faith when they came out of Egypt, right? By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. But then what happened? They got out there in the wilderness and they stopped using their faith. And they kept thinking back to the way they did things in Egypt. And they kept trying to do things according to the way they used to do things in Egypt. And it wasn't working out well for them. But there was a whole generation of folks that never learned the lesson and didn't get back in faith and continue in the faith. But you and I are to continue in the faith of God. Notice, go back to chapter 3. And in verse 7, it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Now, he just told you what the wilderness was. The wilderness is a place of rebellion. See that in verse 8. The wilderness is a place of rebellion, a place of trial and testing. And also it's a place of straying. Verse 10, they always go astray in their heart. It's a place of straying. And verse 10, and they have not known my ways. It's a place of not knowing God's ways. They saw his acts, but they never got to know God's ways. And that's the wilderness. You really don't know God very well. And there's a lot of resisting him and hardening the heart towards him, fighting against God. So he goes on in verse 12 and says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So it's all a part of all those things. The rebellion, the hardness of heart, the going astray, not knowing God's ways. That all comes under the umbrella of unbelief. Unbelief. And so he's talking to us today. He says, "Beware, brethren." Brethren, we're talking about brethren. Saved folks. He says, "Beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Unbelief is an evil thing. He said, "Beware lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Again, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Thank God we've come out of the kingdom of darkness, praise God. We've come out of the kingdom of darkness. We are now saved. And bless God, we've come into a wilderness, a place where we don't understand God very well. We don't know him very well. And there's a lot of folks that have just decided they're not going any further. And they've made the decision that, you know, this is their lot in life. This is what God has for them. And they're just going to stay in this place that is a place of rebellion. It's a place of not really getting to know God. It's a place of not going in and possessing all that he has for them. So they say things like, "We're just old sinners saved by grace." Why don't you just say we're just old rebellious Christians? Because that's what a sinner is. He's rebellious. Well, Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. Hey, I was forgiven. I was water baptized. I came through my Red Sea, and now, hey, I'm forgiven. So don't mind all the rebellion. Don't mind all the Egyptian type of lifestyle that I live. Don't look at all that kind of stuff, because I'm forgiven. And notice what he goes on to say here. He says in verse 14, "For we..." Today, you and I. "For we have become partakers." There's that word again, partakers. "We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Notice, this is all in connection to the wilderness. He's telling us right here that we'll die in the wilderness just like they did if we don't take what he has given us and bring it all the way to completion. Because we're partakers of Christ if we hold fast, if we are patient concerning the word of God and continue to press in to what he has for us. And that pressing in is what's going to save our souls. It's going to cause us to be able to possess our souls and thus be now in a promised land instead of a wilderness. You need to turn your wilderness into a promised land. I'm talking about the wilderness of the soul. I'm talking about the promised land of the soul. Come on. How many know the children of Israel? They took the land bit by bit. It wasn't all accomplished in just one military attack, was it? No. It was bit by bit by bit. They kept exercising their faith. I like how the first victory came about. It came about with a good shout. In the face of all this adversity, I mean, Jericho is securely shut up. I mean, there's some folks, they got some high walls in their soul. It's even got some barbed wire around it. It's securely shut up from God. God is shut out. And there's been some rebellion that I'm going to have it my way. It's going to be my way. And that's it. There's some folks and some things we're just not going to let go of. We're not going to have it that way. I've watched it over the years, 21 years of blissful service in the house of God. I've watched it.
People come to a point, they're so glad, they're so excited to be here because they sense his presence. They hear the word until the word says something about something that's in their life that needs to go. And suddenly, it's Jericho. And they lose their shout. I've watched them lose their shout. I love this church. And then I start meddling. Not me, but the Holy Spirit, you know. Holy Spirit starts meddling. Well, what about this now? You've come this far now. What about that? And some folks will hang on for a couple more services, you know. But they got no shout in them. Got no shout in them. Just stand there. Well, let's all shout. And of course, they can't sit here and say, I'm rebellious. And I've hardened my heart against the word of God. And I'm not going any further with God. They can't say that. They got to say, these people don't love. These people are not nice. This is a cult. These people are wacky. And they got to find fault with somebody else. As they go back to the first church of the wilderness wanderers. I'm just telling you. There's a lot of folks in the wilderness, and they're like that group that came out with Moses. They're not going in. They're not going in. They're not going any further. But then there's that second generation. Hallelujah. I said, then there's that second generation. Praise God forever. They're just sitting there saying, come on, let's go in and take everything God's got for us. Doesn't matter how long it takes, it don't matter. We're going to go in and get it. We're going to have it. And we're not going to let go. If Jesus purchases for us, then bless God for the glory of God, we're going to possess it. And we're going to enjoy it. And we're not going to let the devil sit in our promised land. He's not going to keep us out. So we come up against those big walls, those stubborn places, those rooted in ungodliness places, those strongholds of the enemy. And what do? We shout them down. Ha, ha, ha! Hallelujah! We rejoice and we shout and we praise him. Glory be to God until something falls. And our attitude is, something's going to have to give in and it ain't going to be me. And I might get knocked back and I might get tripped up, but I'm going to get up and I'm not going to quit. And I'm going to keep pressing because I know that wall's coming down. I know that area in my life that is not right, that's ungodly, that does not reflect the nature of God, that thing will come down. It is coming down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue to express the goodness of God. And I have confidence in his mercy. How many of you know his mercy is an exceedingly great promise? That he said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that goes for every sin you might ever commit. If you got the courage to get up and face it and confess it, then bless God, he's got the mercy and grace to forgive you, cleanse you, and empower you to overcome it. And I'm telling you, that's where the battle is. You just keep getting up. You just keep getting up. And next thing you know, that city's done. That wall's gone. Just flat. Bible says it came down flat. You know, you see these little children's cartoons of Jericho and the people shouting and the trumpets blowing and then the earthquake and the walls crumble and they come crumbling down. That's not what happened at all. Bible says they went down flat. The weightiness of the glory of God, that weight, that spiritual weight of the peace of God, that weight of the faith of God just came down on that wall. It was released through their shout and it just came on that thing and just went, squashed it right into the ground. And I mean, you know, it becomes a whole lot easier to go in and to take possession of the land when the thing goes down flat and you don't have to go around all the rubble. I mean, there wasn't even any rubble. What am I saying? There's not even going to be a trace of the things that at one time completely dominated your life. There's not even going to be a trace. There's not going to be one stone hanging around for anybody to stumble over. It's just going to be God. Just the nature of God. Hallelujah. And then we go in and we take another one. And we just take another one. And we just drive out all those evil things that the enemy has sowed into our souls over the years. All those things that are so contrary to God. Every one of them is going to go. Don't you want them to go? I'm with a group of folks that want them to go. There's nobody in here that's saying, I just want to hang on to this little one. See, we have an example of that over, you know, with Ai, children of Israel, you know. No, it was Jericho, excuse me, with Jericho. After they had gone in, you know, then they couldn't go in and defeat this smaller city called Ai. They couldn't go in and possess that. Joshua cried out to the Lord and said, what's going on? What happened? The Lord said, get off the ground. Children of Israel have sinned. They found a guy that went and he coveted some of the things that were in Jericho and he hid them in his tent. I wanted to keep a couple things from Jericho, and it hindered them from being able to go in and take Ai. They couldn't take Ai because they were holding on to some things from Jericho. We're not going to hold on to anything from Jericho. We're going to let that thing go flat, praise God, go in there and possess it. I don't want any of it. If it's not of God, if it's contrary to God, I don't want it. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Somebody say, my wilderness is turning into a promised land fast. Because it's harvest time. That's right. Praise God. We've been sowing good seed. We've been tearing up the old seed. Amen? You know, the Bible talks about seed time and harvest time. Seed time and harvest time. There's a seed time and harvest time. But you know, that could be a little misleading. Seed time and harvest time. What we need to really realize is that it's seed time, it's water time, it's weed time, it's water time, it's weed time, it's water time, it's weed time, it's water time, and then it's harvest time. A lot of times folks think seed, harvest. Well, it's seed and weed and water and weed some more and water some more and weed some more, and that's how you get yourself your harvest. And that's what we're doing. Seeding ourselves with the word, watering ourselves with the word, and then dealing with the weeds. Dealing with the weeds. Driving out those things that have made our soul a wilderness, made our souls a mess. But now, bless God, our souls are becoming blessed. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Where there were weeds, now there's a palm tree. That'd be a good title right there. Replace your weed with a palm tree. Let's turn this desert into an oasis. Woo, hallelujah. Some of you already, I can see it, bless God. You got some oases. It's already happening. You can go over to your oasis and take your drink from the stream of living water that's in there, that's flowing freely in your soul. Praise God, hallelujah. Ooh, how many people believe your soul's getting freer and freer and freer? Yeah. I mean, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. But you and I have the Garden of Eden inside us, in our souls. Think about that. Even though the world might be a wilderness around us, might be a mess around us, we could have that Garden of Eden that God originally planned for man to dwell in. That perfect paradise on the inside of us, 24/7, living in the promised land, living in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's magnify Him, thank Him tonight. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.